I would like you to turn with me in Scripture this morning, if you have your Bible with you. If you don't have it with you, listen carefully as we read together. Mark 2, just verses 23 through 28. Mark 2, beginning at verse 23. I've shared with you before, these headings are not necessarily inspired, but they are, in fact, good summaries. And so the subject that we're looking at is Lord of the Sabbath. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. He also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." This is the word of the Lord. After our wonderful experience last week with baptism and professions of faith, I got to thinking about Bible reading and its importance. I'm not even sure if I told Sarah and Joy to make sure that they read their Bible regularly, but I am quite confident they do. I'm pretty sure I knew they would and would do that. I have said before and truly believe the man who does not read has no advantage over the man who cannot read. Mark Twain originally said that. I believe it is true. It is true of reading in general. There are places in the world where, when the literacy rate is low, poverty and hunger are usually quite rampant. It's not a direct correlation, but it is quite common that when literacy rates improve, poverty decreases, hunger decreases, the people who read do better in general. It is also true for Christians. Many missionaries know the importance of helping illiterate people learn to read, and sometimes it is the first priority on a mission field. Missionaries get somewhere, they begin to help people learn to read. Now, sometimes, I threw it in case Peter was back, sometimes the next priority is to get the Bible into their language. The work of translators is also very important. Christians who do not read the Bible, especially if they can read but don't, are probably often hard to distinguish from non-Christians. I can't prove that. I don't have a study. It just seems to me generally true. If Christians do not read, they don't really look much different than non-Christians in their same community. This, although I would add, does not generally apply to disabled people. For example, our friend Resty Jr., who has made a commitment to God, rededicating his life to the Lord, but he is physically unable to hold a book, a Bible, and to read it. He, in fact, listens to audio Bibles very faithfully that Brother Jeff has brought him. He wore out a whole package of batteries, I think it was in 2 weeks, and so Brother Jeff got him a plug-in model so we don't have to go through so many batteries. I'm not even sure if it's possible to wear out CDs, but if it's possible, we will find out, because Resty is reading the Bible very faithfully through an audio Bible. After I wrote the title, I think it's up there, I realized for a moment that if you consider it's an imperative sentence, then I'm trying to tell Jesus what to do. But of course, the English language has got a lot of idiosyncrasies, and one of them is that read and read are spelled the same. So I mean the past tense. Jesus read the Bible often and knew it well. We, of course, do not know at what point in his young human life that he began to realize that he wrote it. We don't know when he realized that. We can say with confidence that he eventually realized it as he grew into a young adult, or as an adult. He knew that he was in fact God. He said so very often. He knew that he was one with the Father and one with the Spirit, as we say, a triune God. He knew he was one of the persons in the Trinity of a triune God. But from a human point of view, I would just guess that it just didn't all come back to him. Like one day he was in his Jewish kindergarten class, Jewish school, and suddenly he realized he wrote the whole Bible and knew the whole thing. I'm quite sure he had to read it and learn it, like we as young humans need to read, learn to read, and begin to learn. If scripture doesn't tell us when he figured that out, so we don't really need to know. We do want to observe and understand that reading the Bible is an incredibly important part of the life of a Christian. Not the only important part. Prayer is important, and worship is important, and praise is important. All these are part, and that's not an exhaustive list. But we're going to focus on the importance of reading the scriptures, as well as the importance of reading and writing that are important to every citizen. It just happens to be we are citizens of God's kingdom. And it's also true for us. From the earliest times, reading was very important. The word read or read, you can usually tell by the context which one it is found 87 times in the NIV, starting with Exodus 24:7. We have actually, I didn't publish it, but we have an Old Testament text, happens to be the second time it was used early, in the earliest days when the Book of the Covenant was first written down. Look on the screen at Deuteronomy 17, 18 through 20, and I will read it. When he takes the throne of his kingdom, this is obviously the king, he is to write for himself on a scroll a copy of this law, taken from that of the priests, who are Levites. It is to be with him, and he is to read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to revere the Lord his God and follow carefully all the words of this law and these decrees, and not consider himself better than his brothers, and turn from the law to the right or the left. He and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom. Then he and his descendants will reign a long time over his kingdom in Israel. Now that text sort of suggests some things besides what it directly says. It seems to suggest that not many could read in those early days. And so it was very important for the future king of Israel to be able to read the law regularly as part of the instructions. It was like an instruction book for a king. You want to be a king? Well, your first assignment is to read the law. To read today it would be all of the Bible, but in those days it would have been the first five books of the Bible, the Torah. We can know that... There were times when it was very important to have someone read the law of God to all the people. One of the major uses of the term in the Old Testament. Other communications and decrees and rules were also read to those who could themselves not read. But we can easily guess that God knows the great value of the words he inspired his servants to write down. And we can easily project that he would want more and more of his followers to learn to read in order to continually read and absorb and live these ancient words that he gave us. To put it real simply, he gave us his word so we could read it. I'll never forget, I was a high school student and I went to school out of town. I boarded in the town I went to school in during the week. And so not often, I was usually home on the weekend, but occasionally I was in that other town. I was not at my own church. And a young seminarian had, I'm going to tell you about it, but I don't remember much about his sermon, but I do remember that he held up his Bible and said, "You say you stand on God's word," and then he tossed it on the floor. And he walked over to it, stood on it. He says, "If you stand on God's word, how can you read it?" So I don't know what the rest of the sermon was, like I said. I don't remember anything else, but it was a pretty dramatic little analogy. He also wants us to respect it. That might have been the problem with that analogy. It didn't seem so respectful to throw the Bible on the floor and then to stand on it. God wants us to respect his word too. We aren't told, and so we don't know a lot of detail about if any of the early kings read the law faithfully, as that Old Testament text suggests. No, it doesn't suggest, it commands. In Jeremiah 36, we find a most interesting story about Jeremiah. He dictated some of God's words, a special message to the king, to King Jehoiakim. He wrote them down and he sent an assistant to read it to the king. His servants were really rightly worried how the king would react. Jeremiah knew, the servants knew, the message wasn't all that positive. The king was in fact an evil king, and they were worried. What would the king do when you read him a message from God? And so, as they read the book, this message, after each section, they would hand them to the king, and the king would throw them into the fireplace one by one. He listened to all of them, threw each one in the fireplace, and burned them. If we read past that story, we would find out that later, terrible punishment from God was given to this king for this great disrespect. We should respect and honor the word of the Lord. We know that Jesus read the scriptures faithfully, evidenced by our New Testament text and quite a few others like it. And he read the Old Testament in a way that he could remember it, that he could think about it, he could understand the meaning of it, and that he could apply it to his life and events in his life. It is interesting. I think that little text is interesting because we find out that he read the Bible much more seriously and much more sincerely and much more thoughtfully than the Pharisees who were criticizing him. He went down deep into the meaning of the words instead of just kind of looking at them like some little rule that these disciples were not following. There are quite a few, we will mention several, haven't you read comments, just like the one in our text. For example, Matthew 12, 3 and 5, on a similar subject as this Mark text. Also similar and very typical is Matthew 19, 4 through 6. He was answering some Pharisees about the truth of marriage, about divorce, about if it was appropriate or not. And he wrote, I think I have it on the screen, "Haven't you read," he replied, "that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become flesh, one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.'" Interesting that this Old Testament teaching on marriage, emphasized and reiterated by Jesus in this way, speaks volumes to the current culture that seems to want to turn away from God's truth. It goes against, they're seeking approval of same-sex marriage and behavior, and that goes against God's word in general and our Lord's clear emphasis of it in this text. I have read some Christian person says, "Well, Jesus never said anything about it." This text is directly on the subject. Jesus' comment is the basis, in fact, for our church's position on homosexual behavior and marriage. In summary, God created marriage between one man and one woman long before there was any government or any court. Any human court or authority is wrong to try to redefine what they did not make. We Jesus followers should not expect unbelievers to obey him and his word. We shouldn't expect non-Christians to act like Christians. But we should not participate in or have anything to do with anything that is disobedient to God's word. Now this especially includes any and all violations of the first and greatest commandment. We should be all about loving God, and the second is like it, remember Jesus said, love our neighbors as ourself. And this current controversy and all the current rage, all the discussions that we're hearing, it is often said that Christians are not acting in a loving way toward homosexuals. If that's true, then those people are wrong. Sin is sin. If we are not acting in a loving way toward anyone else, any sinner, anyone, any type of sin, then we are violating the first and greatest commandment. If, in fact, you cannot love gays or people of some other race or position or opinion, it would be far and away best for you to reconsider that problem before you worry about gay marriage or other problems. You see what I'm saying? We need to be people of the book, and people of the book love God and love each other. If we are not doing that, we are wrong. We must love people, but not approve of any wrong behavior, whether sexual or any other sin. This is how we will live out God's word in our culture and bring people to Christ. As I have said, this time in our nation and in the world may be a tremendous opportunity to get ourselves closer to God. If we're doing something wrong, we should make corrections. And also give us the opportunity to speak the truth and the love of God to others who need to hear it. You know how to do that? Well, one of the things is our subject for the day. We need to read the Bible. We need to know what it says. We need to know how it applies to situations in our lives and around us. So, enough on that. Back to the subject of reading. One time when children were praising him, Jesus defended them from the chief priests and teachers of the law in Matthew 21:16. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, replied Jesus. Have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Interesting that he was quoting Psalm 8, verse 2. In the same chapter, later in verse 42, Jesus caught the chief priests and elders in their own trap after telling them the parable of the tenants. Jesus said this, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That was quoting Psalm 118, 22 and 23. In another attempted trap by the Sadducees on the resurrection, he became very specific about the scriptures in Matthew 22:29-33, when he replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. About the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And I love this part of that text. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. And don't you see what he did? He took the Old Testament gospel, the Old Testament word of God, and applied it to their situation. Also notice that in verse 32, he quoted Exodus 3, verse 6. The same kind of thing happened in Mark 2:25. And in Mark 12:10-26, and Luke 6:3, and Luke 10:26, and in 11 of the 16 times the word read is used, Jesus is asking, have you never read, or how do you read the scriptures? The other 5 times are at his crucifixion, where it says, it read, the sign above Jesus' head, it read. Now, think about this for a moment with me. Do you think that Jesus carried the Bible around with him? Do you think he had a nice leather-bound copy of the Old Testament and he had it right there and he could whip it out whenever he needed it? Well, you know, I'm being a little bit silly. Almost certainly he did not. What is quite certain from all of these texts is that he read the scriptures in a way that he knew them. He knew them well. He knew what they meant. He knew how they applied to people's lives. When you asked him a question or tried to trick him or trap him, he knew the scripture that would apply directly to what was being said. He spent enough time reading it that he knew it and talked about it and lived it. I take very small consolation in the fact that he didn't always say where it is found, which text it was. He didn't always say, oh, that was quoting Psalm 118, 22 through 23. But I also take no consolation in the fact that he probably knew it. He just didn't have to push it. I always don't remember the scripture text very well. And I maybe try to defend myself by saying it might be more important to know what the Bible says than to know exactly where to find it. Having said that, I'm going to work on it. I'm going to try harder to know where texts are found. I hope we all will. This morning, this is just a brief study to simply prove that Jesus read the scriptures. He understood their meaning. He applied it regularly and routinely in his life. He quoted the scripture to call people to himself and to oppose detractors and enemies. He used the word of God as the weapon it was meant to be and as the guide it was meant to be on how he would live in obedience to his heavenly Father. He was, as usual, a perfect example to us, proving that we should teach others to read and to read the scriptures faithfully by our own example. We should honor and follow the teachings of scripture. Rose and I have a friend who is involved in literacy work in Liberia. We still get kind of keep in touch with her through emails and so on, Facebook, actually. She works faithfully with the Samaritan's Purse organization to help Liberians learn to read, just as I've been describing this morning. It is interesting and incredibly important work. We should spread the word wherever and whenever we can in obedience to our Lord. That's why we encourage everyone to have a Bible available. There are some paperback, large print New Testaments back there. I know we've gone through, I think, was it four cases now before this last shipment? So I know many of you have a Bible, and you have it handy, and you have it ready to give to somebody who's interested. That's what we should be doing. That's what we must be doing. We must be helping people know the scriptures. If anybody ever asks you, well, why is this just the New Testament? What's wrong with the Old Testament? You tell them, if you want a whole Bible, we'll help you get one. We will. For new believers, for newcomers to Bible reading, the New Testament is the best place to start. You know, I don't know yet, but we may even need to teach people to read before we can share the scriptures with them sometimes. We have the apparent advantage of assuming many in our area can already read. But there are certainly some who cannot. And if they cannot, at very least, we can offer audio Bibles to help them begin to understand God's Word. Our culture doesn't know this. Reading and knowing and obeying the Bible is the most important thing in all of creation for people. Now, there are lots of people who will ridicule the Bible. They'll make fun of it. They'll say, they won't use our respectful phrase, ancient words. They will say, that's old stuff. What does that matter to us now? We're modern people. And I will submit to you, and I hope that you will submit to anyone if you hear them say it, the Bible is the most modern thing in print anywhere, because it was written by the one who made us and knows us. He knew what we need before we were born. And what we need is to follow the truth of Scripture. I have shared with you before, I apologize if I'm being too redundant, but it's interesting to me that I still, since I told you this several months ago, I still at times ask people if they know what is like the wise man who built his house. Where? Where did a wise man build his house? On the rock. The Bible says, Jesus himself said in the Sermon on the Mountain, something is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. And you ask somebody, well, where did the foolish man build his house? And they almost always know it's on the sand. Lot, I know that you know the punchline that I'm going for here, but a lot of people do not know what Jesus said is like those things. And what it is, you can look for yourself in the Sermon on the Mount, is someone who hears my words and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. Someone who hears my words but does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who's building something that will be destroyed. The world doesn't know that. And we, as people of the book, need to tell them. Need to tell them that God has, in fact, given us everything we need for our salvation in this book. Everything is there. And we need to know what it is, know how to tell people about it, and know how to live it. My bottom line, my last point, is very simple and direct. If you follow Jesus, if you believe in him and trust him as your Savior and Lord, then you will want to do what he did. And I've clearly and abundantly made the point, he read the Bible. Be people of the book. Be people who read his word. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you today for your word. We love to read it. But we don't maybe always read it as much or as often or as well as we should. Lord, I ask that you would actually convict us. Help us to be people like me who need to remember more where different texts are found. And Lord, help us to remember what different texts say when they are so incredibly important to the issues, the controversies in the world around us. Lord, we ask that you would just help us to truly be people of the book, people who know what you have wanted us to know because you put it in the Bible. Lord, we ask that you would help us, inspire us, revive and refresh us, renew us in reading your word and obeying it in all that we do. Lord, we praise you together and thank you. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.